It has not gone unnoticed to me that in my retirement, I find myself preaching on almost every Sunday after Easter. It's called Low Sunday. It used to be called Seminary Sunday. It's when seminary students would preach or retired ministers preach. And I'm actually happy to preach on the Sunday after Easter. I prefer it, truth be known. Truth be known, Easter Sunday preaching had become a labor. It's hard. It's a long slog to get through Lent and Easter. No wonder ministers give up and they give the Sunday after Easter to somebody else. I mean, I don't blame them. I mean, Easter sermons are hard. You know, I always felt I had to mute myself just a little bit, you know, because you have all these folk coming on Easter Sunday that are only here on Easter Sunday or on Christmas. And so, you know, I didn't want them to think that I am as crazy as I actually am. But on the Sunday after Easter, I can be crazy again. I love it. Plus, you get to ask the kind of hard questions, don't you? You get to ask the questions on the Sunday after Easter that perhaps we've got to ask because we kind of get back to our normal lives, our normal everyday stuff that you know, frankly, compels us to ask the question, what is Easter all about? What difference does it really make? There's genocide, there are wars, there's brokenness in people's lives, grief still weighs people down, fear weighs people down, hatred, anger, is still there in the world. What difference does Easter really make? It's a question that ought to compel us to ponder on the Sunday after Easter. That's why I like preaching on the Sunday after Easter, because these are the questions that I come with. My go-to theologian on the Sunday after Easter is Shelley Rambo. She's actually a Presbyterian minister. She teaches at Boston University School of Theology. And she did a huge amount of work on trauma theory and working with trauma victims. And she wrote a compelling book that I read a number of years ago entitled Spirit and Trauma. And in this book, Shelley Rambo questions the traditional Christian paradigm that goes from Good Friday to Easter without remainder. That's kind of a linear movement from Good Friday to Easter. And then after Easter, the victory's over, joy and happiness are there for everyone. She questions that. Because for trauma victims, they get stuck, you see, in Holy Saturday. They get stuck there. And when I read her book, I realized that I get stuck there too. Most of us do. Because for people that experience trauma, or people like the rest of us, whoever we are, whatever kinds of even minor trauma that we experience, it doesn't move to Easter without remainder. Stuff remains with us. The difficult stuff of life. In her second book, entitled Resurrecting Wounds, she takes it a step further. And she features this passage in the Gospel of John, where Jesus appears to the disciples behind locked doors for fear of those who might threaten them. And in truth, we may find ourselves behind locked doors a whole lot. I find myself there. I find myself locked in fear, locked in anger, locked in grief, locked in all kinds of stuff where I'm actually wondering if there is any victory. What Shelley Rambo does with this passage is remarkable. She points out what is pretty obvious if you think about it, and that is Jesus appears here, wounds and all. The wounds are still on Jesus. And in fact, Jesus is inviting us to attend to those very wounds, to attend to the trauma. He's saying, here, look at them, touch them, feel them, and believe. Believe that if you do, if you turn into them, there can be healing, there can be hope. There can be a sense of community that deals with things like grief. It's a powerful message, and it led me to conclude that I think we've been too hard on Thomas, calling him Doubting Thomas, when actually he's actually the one who has the most insight here. For you know, Thomas doesn't say, unless I see the crown on his head. Thomas said, unless I see the wounds, unless I look at them. And that's exactly what Jesus invites us to do, especially on the Sunday after Easter, to attend to the wounds, to look at them. What Shelley Rambo suggests is that that the resurrection in this passage invites us to turn in a different direction than we're used to turning. Turning to the suffering of the world, turning to the wounds in our own life, turning to the wounds in our community, not ignoring them, but turning to them and actually finding hope and healing in the gospel's proclamation that God is seeking to bring resurrection out of those very wounded places. Shelley Rambo points to Resma Manickham and his book, My Grandmother's Wound. Some of us read that book together. It's a compelling book about racism in this country. Racism among white people, racism among the police, and what Resma Manickham invites us to do and consider is there's two kinds of pain. There's dirty pain, in which we ignore the wounds, or we deflect attention from them, even though they're there. And we're good at deflecting attention from wounds, aren't we? Or what she calls clean pain, and that is moving right into them. The clean pain is the kind of thing where we can find hope, can find healing. So why is it that we don't do that? Why is it some 2,000 years after the proclamation of resurrection and Easter that we have trouble with that? Well, I suspect that there's something very truthful about the old adage, the devil we know is better than the... You know the rest of it, don't you? We think it might be the devil, but is it the Lord? Is it God in the resurrected Christ? I suspect it is, if we'd only attend to it. But then if you're like me, fears bear down upon you. They paralyze. They don't enable us to see the other. They don't enable us to see what Paul Ricoeur says is the most basic ethical inclination. You too, like me. They don't even let us see that. Fear paralyzes us from basic emotions like compassion. Anger and hatred do the same thing. They magnify the injustice that has been done to us, and they dehumanize the other. And then there is grief. You know, we say to people that have grief, just get over it. That's not right. You know that. You've had enough grief in your life to know that grief stays with you. In my former church, I had a very dear member who lost his son a month after his son's wedding. He died of a massive heart attack. 10 years after his son's death, Paul would still tear up in thinking about his son. Grief hangs with people. So what is the answer, my friends? Well, the answer to me is held in this text. It's not that we pull ourselves up from the bootstraps. It's that we accept the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus has given the disciples, has given to us. This is John's Pentecost scene, you see. When Jesus breathes on the disciples and gives them the Holy Spirit, the Spirit gives us power to do things that we can't on our own. And the Spirit gives us power to do things in community that we can't do on our own. The power of the Sunday after Easter is that we meet, in some sense, in a room with a locked door. And Jesus comes to us as we are together in our woundedness and breathes the Holy Spirit upon us and creates community so that you and I can be there for one another in our fear, in our anger, and in our grief. In our fears, we can create interconnectedness in community by the power of the Spirit. In our anger, we can turn it into agitation to be about doing the things that God wants us to do in the world. And in our grief, we can create a community of care so that we really listen to one another. That happens at communion, you know, at the Eucharist, the supper. One of John's favorite images for this is when Jesus says, "Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears fruit." In our living room, we have a painting of that saying. It's one of my very favorite paintings. And it has the crucified and risen Christ in the roots of a wheat plant. And in my imagination, the wheat plant becomes the bread at the communion table, the body of Christ that we share with one another, the body of Christ that represents the wounds not only of our individual lives, but the wounds of the world. And we are invited to face into those very wounds on the promise that the Spirit of the risen Christ brings resurrection and life in the broken places. And that's what the church is. That's how the doors get unlocked. That's how we become the beloved community. By attending to the wounds, by putting our fingers in them, touching them, and believing that resurrection and life can happen even for us. Let us pray. Oh God, we are indeed thankful for this special Sunday when we ponder the wounds of the risen Christ. The wounds that are present for us here at this table. The wounds that are present for us in our lives. Present for us in one another. Present for us as your Spirit creates community. Creates your beloved community, your liberating community, your agitating community, your healing community, your caring community. And in your name, we pray that we can be among those who believe, that resurrection and life are available for each and for all. And the people said, Amen.